This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, October 31st, 2012. As KVNF has reported, SG Interests is proposing to drill for oil and gas in the Thompson Divide area north of McClure Pass, with various groups indicating support and others opposition to the development of these leases. U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, a Democrat from Colorado, put forth a possible solution to the dispute over the prospect of drilling in the Divide area that models a recent example from Wyoming. Bennett offered draft legislation in early August for public comment that would prevent future federal oil and gas leasing in 183,000 of the 221,500-acre Thompson Divide area. It also would permanently withdraw currently leased areas from further leasing in cases when leaseholders voluntarily relinquish a lease via donation, purchase, exchange, or other means. U.S. Representative Scott Tipton, a Republican from Colorado's 3rd Congressional District, has been approached about similar legislation. As Aspen Public Radio's Luke Runyon reports, Tipton's connections to the Thompson Divide issue come from another side as well.
Campaign disclosure documents show SG Interests, a Houston-based drilling operator, has given $25,000 to a political action committee called the Colorado Future Fund. That money's mostly been spent on direct mail flyers against President Obama and the Democrat running against Tipton, State Representative Sal Pace. Late last week, the nonpartisan Sunlight Foundation released a report suggesting a close relationship between the Future Fund's leaders and the Tipton campaign. The Super PAC's treasurer is based in a law firm run by Tipton's election lawyer. The two even share the same address.
We have set up numerous and significant procedural Chinese walls and safeguards to prevent any type of coordination between the two.
That's John Zackham, Tipton's election lawyer. He says even though the Super PAC has ties to his law office, it doesn't mean there's coordination going on. Any coordination among a Super PAC and the candidate it spends money on behalf of is against federal election law. SG Interests also appears to be the only organization funneling money into this particular fund. They're making moves to drill for oil and gas in the Thompson Divide outside Carbondale, with plenty of local pushback. SG Vice President Robbie Gwynn says his company played no role in creating the Super PAC. It was just a good fit for their donations.
The committee had a set of goals that we were in support of, and we donated to the committee to further those goals.
What were some of those goals?
I don't remember all of the goals off the top of my head. I'd have to go back to their position statement.
The oil and gas leases in the Thompson Divide have become a heated campaign issue. Tipton's been called on to file legislation that would keep drilling out of the divide. He's yet to do so and has said in the past he wants compromise from both sides. Zane Kessler with Thompson Divide Coalition says his group wants to work with whomever wins next week, but says the newly created Super PAC is disheartening.
It's disappointing to know that there are out-of-state interests that are working to trump the voices of over 3,500 constituents in the Roaring Fork Valley and surrounding areas.
Once the Sunlight Foundation report came out, it didn't take long for Tipton's opponent, Sal Pace, to paint the sitting congressman as a lackey to the oil and gas industry.
This is certainly a perception issue. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not going to pretend to be one, but this certainly doesn't look good.
Calls to Congressman Tipton's campaign were not returned.
That was Luke Runyon from Aspen Public Radio and Rocky Mountain Community Radio. A former financial officer for the town of Paonia is accused of stealing nearly $400,000 from the town over nearly 5 years for personal expenses. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports Kristen Chesnick was issued a summons Tuesday on suspicion of one count of theft, a Class 3 felony, following an investigation by the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, the Delta County Sheriff's Department, and the 7th Judicial District Attorney's Office. This according to CBI spokeswoman Susan Medina. The probe, which relied on cooperation from the town of Paonia, found Chesnick allegedly misused nearly $400,000 in town funds for personal payouts between January 2007 and December of 2011. Medina said the investigation found Chesnick cashed town checks, and made ATM and debit card transactions. Chesnick's first court appearance is scheduled for next month. Michelle Haynes of Montrose has been selected as the new executive director of the Region 10 League for Economic Assistance and Planning. Haynes will replace outgoing executive director Paul Gray, who officially announced his retirement in August. According to a release, Haynes is currently serving as director of the Region 10 Area Agency on Aging. She holds a bachelor's degree in accounting as well as a master's in business administration. Gray plans to work closely with Haynes to ensure a smooth transition. Gray has served the organization since 2006. Haynes will begin her new duties on December 3rd, and Gray's last day will be December 21st. Region 10 League for Economic Assistance and Planning is a nonprofit organization that covers six counties: Montrose, Delta, Gunnison, Ouray, Hinsdale, and San Miguel. It's Halloween. Costumes are ready, the candy is bought, and houses are decked out with pumpkins and scary decorations. Some of those decorations include black cats, bats, and spider webs. In the last couple of months, residents on the Western Slope have reported to KVNF's IC Change Project they've been seeing more spiders than usual this fall, particularly black widow spiders. Reporter Julia Kumari-Drapkin has this story.
It was a dark and stormy evening in Paonia. Well, actually, it was a rather warm, calm, clear September night when suddenly Sarah Sauter woke up in bed.
And my shoulder hurt. And I thought, oh, maybe I slept on it wrong. But it really hurt.
She noticed she was developing a strange rash.
And that triggered a memory. A week ago, I had seen a black widow on my bed.
The distinct red hourglass shape on the back of a black widow spider is hard to mistake. But Sarah Sauter is the kind of girl who doesn't like to kill any spiders, even black widows. She thinks they're good for insect control, so she ignored it. In fact, she just plain forgot about it, until now. So Sarah did what any modern woman would do. She got online. A Google search for black widow bite lists rash as the first symptom of the spider's neurotoxin.
I was very rational and started Facebooking my friends. If I'm dead, I got bit by a spider last night.
One friend was awake and stayed with Sarah via text message as the real pain began.
This pain starts shooting slowly down my back, and it was one of the most intense cramping feelings I had ever had. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't sit on the couch. I was just wiggling around and writhing with pain.
Over the next 4 days, Sarah had to be admitted to the hospital twice.
The day after I came home from the hospital, I think it was the first time, I found the spider on the side of my bed all shriveled up. So I don't know if I rolled over it and decided to crush it with my shoulder, but I did find that there was the nest above my bed.
And another person Sarah knows found one in her bed.
A coworker. I think it was the very next night after I got bit, there was one under her covers crawling on her.
Now, around September, residents on the Western Slope are used to seeing black widows. Fall is the season when spiders reach maturity, lay eggs, and die. But Sarah and a few others feel like there's been more spiders than usual and that it might be due to the unusual weather.
I've heard that black widows, scorpions, hornets, all sorts of critters like the hot, dry summers, and that they're around in higher numbers right now. And I hear a lot of stories of people getting bit and people getting stung. So my question is, with the hot, dry summers, can we expect more interactions between venomous insects and humans?
Sarah, I don't have a simple answer for your question.
Linda Rayer studies social spiders, and she teaches spider biology at Cornell University. But she's originally from Colorado.
I'm a Denver kid, absolutely.
Linda says she doesn't remember seeing black widows growing up.
But my parents tell me that they have them in the garage at this point.
Now, when it comes to spider population increases, there's a lot of factors at play, And weather, Linda says, is often part of the equation.
So on a hot, dry summer, basically there's lots of insects. They're doing well as long as we're not talking complete drought and dust bowl. The insects are growing. They're growing faster. And so there's lots of food for the spiders to eat.
And more food means spiders have more energy. Now, black widows are famous for eating male spiders after mating with them. But what's really amazing to Linda is their rate of reproduction.
A black widow starts reproducing when she's about 3 months old. She'll produce on the order of 9 different egg sacs, and each of those egg sacs has as many as 2,000 young per sac. I mean, that's crazy high numbers. And so if you've got a good summer where there's lots of insect prey out there, then you not only have bigger, fatter black widows and other spiders, but you've got bigger, fatter, more spiders.
And Colorado's warm season, the period between April and September, was the warmest ever recorded since records were kept. So it's a safe bet that spiders were pretty happy outdoors this year. As for indoors, Reyes says spiders may come looking for water or warmth if there's a sudden cold spell. And there are plenty of structures for them to spin webs. But in people's beds?
Generally, adult female widows aren't wandering around. They're staying in their web. I have no idea how they would be getting spiders coming into their bed.
But she does have an idea about venomous interactions with people.
Basically, there aren't that many poisonous spiders. Most spiders are really harmless to humans and are really cool and just need to be left alone.
While hypothetically more poisonous spiders could mean more bites, they only release venom half of the time.
And so, although people get bitten, it doesn't do the damage.
In other words, Sarah Sauter was really unlucky. Still, Linda Reyes thinks that Sarah should have gone ahead and gotten rid of the black widow when she saw it the first time.
That was a mistake. Definitely, you don't want black widows in your house.
And Sarah Sauter agrees.
If I ever see a black widow again in my life, I will grab the nearest shoe and take care of it.
But at least, she says, she has a good idea for a scary Halloween costume this year.
I See Change is produced by Julia Kumari-Drapkin and brought to you by KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Localore, a national public media initiative produced by AIR, the Association for Independence in Radio, with financial support by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Wincote Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts.
The Montrose County Road and Bridge Department will close 5500 Road at Herman Road for culvert replacement beginning next Tuesday, November 6th. Only local traffic would be permitted. Motorists are asked to use alternative routes. For more information, call the Montrose County Road and Bridge Department at 970-249-5424. This concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.